You're listening to a podcast from the BBC World Service. This is Hard Talk with me, Stephen Sacker. Thanks for downloading this edition of the programme. I do hope you enjoy it. Welcome to Hard Talk on the BBC World Service with me, Stephen Sacker. My guest today is one of China's most senior diplomats. Liu Xiaoming has been Beijing's man in London for a decade. And before that, he'd held another challenging post, Chinese ambassador in North Korea. He is a trusted pair of hands representing the Communist Party leadership on the world stage. And never has the need for proactive diplomacy been more urgent. China has serious questions to answer about its handling of the first outbreak and subsequent spread of COVID-19. Critics say there is ample evidence to show China's rulers attempted to cover up the truth. There are calls for an independent investigation. The facts must be exposed, they say, to ensure the same mistakes and missteps are never made again. China, on the other hand, portrays itself as the leader of the global effort to defeat the virus. Even while the pandemic is still wreaking havoc worldwide, political posturing and point scoring has begun. China's role is key, but is it villain or hero? Well, Ambassador Liu Xiaoming joins me now. Welcome to Hard Talk.
Thank you to be with you again.
We are delighted to have you on our program at this difficult time. Let me start actually with a very simple, direct question. Do you accept that COVID-19 has its origins in China?
It's first discovered in Wuhan, but I can't say it originated from Wuhan. You know, according to many information, many reports, including BBC, you know, it can be everywhere and anywhere. You know, it can be in the aircraft carriers, it can be found even in the submarine, and it can be found in some countries which has a very little connection with China, and also can be found in the group of people who never been to China. So I couldn't say, we cannot say, it's originated from China.
Ambassador, let me stop you there because I'm a little confused by that answer. I mean, clearly it is a new virus. It originated somewhere. It crossed, it seems, according to all of the immunologists and the virologists, it crossed from animals to humans, and there was a first case and then it spread. There is no doubt that the first case was in China. I'm wondering why you're telling me that it spread all over the world and people have caught it who've never been to China. That is clear because it's become a pandemic. But the question that matters where did it start?
I think this question is still up for a scientist to decide where, you know, is the first case to be found. I read a report. You know, the first case was reported in China, on the 27th of December by Dr. Zhang to Chinese local health authorities. But I read report that some of the cases even found much earlier than that. You know, we read even the report, by your newspapers yesterday, that your scientists, medical advisors, even warned your government that they might be a virus and known to us much earlier, last year. So I can't say that. I can say the first case was reported in China on 27th of December.
I think there's no doubt experts believe the origin of the first outbreak, the first examples of this COVID-19 virus to be found in human beings, came from Wuhan and the surrounding area in China. I just wonder whether you accept that it is very important that we understand exactly what happened at the beginning of this outbreak, that we understand, frankly, what mistakes and missteps were made which allowed the first outbreak to become a global pandemic.
I think it's still debatable. I think we have to agree to disagree. I think it's first discovered in Wuhan, in China, but I can't say it originated from Wuhan. Let me tell you the timeline of China's fight against this virus. One, it was first reported on 27th of December by Dr. Zhang, And then Chinese health authorities, CDC, notified WHO the fourth day on the 31st of December in the shortest possible time, and also share this information with other countries. China shared the discovery of the paraffin with the WHO in the shortest possible time, and also share the information about genetic sequence of this virus in the earliest possible time.
Ambassador, let me just interrupt you on this question of the timeline, because you've missed out one very important point. On December 30th, a doctor in Wuhan, Li Wenliang, used his chat group online to tell fellow doctors that there was a new and very worrying disease in Wuhan. He advised his colleagues that they must wear protective clothing to avoid this new infection. And just a couple of days later, he was summoned to the Public Security Bureau. He was made to sign a letter in which he confessed to making false statements that had severely disturbed the social order. That was the beginning of an official cover-up, which continued through the month of January.
As I said earlier, now I understand why there's a so-called call for independent investigation. You know, they try to find excuse for them to criticize China for cover-up. But the fact is that Li Wenliang is not the first one who discovered this virus. As I told you, it's Dr. Zhang Jixian, and he reported 3 days earlier than Li Wenliang to the health authorities. Then the health authorities in Wuhan report to the central government. Then, you know, 4 days later, that means 1 day after Li Wenliang spread this word, China authorities share this information with the WHO and other countries.
With respect, Ambassador, the information that was shared was actually extremely limited, because on January 14th, we now know this from leaks that have been given to the Washington Post and the Associated Press, we know that internally, China's National Health Commission head, Mr. Shao Wei, laid out a very grim assessment of what was happening. He said that the situation was severe, complex, clustered cases suggest human-to-human transmission is happening, the memo said. The risk of transmission and spread is high. But in public, that was internal, but in public, the head of China's Disease Control Emergency Center, the very next day, said the risk of sustained human-to-human transmission is low, that it was preventable and controllable. So I put it to you again, there is compelling evidence that China for weeks did not tell the truth.
You give me not enough time to answer your question. I haven't answered a question with regard to Li Wenliang. You talk about a cover-up. That's not true. You know, Dr. Zhang reported through a normal channel to health authorities, but Li spread this word, you know, among his friends. You know, in any country, when you have something, the virus, which is dangerous to people's health, when something unknown, that always there might be a panic. So I think the police authority, Simon Li, and warned him not to do it. You can't say this is a cover-up, since on the official channel, you know, we report through the normal channel, but on this, we need to make sure that there should be no panic. You know, even today in UK,
but the evidence
I think your government is fighting about this misinformation. You know, some people try to use this to create panic for their own gain. But I think Li's case is closed. And then, you know, after it's reported to the central authorities, the government sent an investigation team down to Wuhan and found out that Li did the right thing. You know, and the police reprimand has been revoked, and Li was made martyr and given the highest honor. You know,
Dr. Li was indeed regarded by the Chinese people as a hero when he died.
Not only the Chinese people, but also regarded by the Chinese government.
You know, with respect, I think the people of China are very aware. And I come back to it, that the Chinese government wasn't straight with them, nor with the outside world. Just tell me, if you can, one more time, why on January 14th, the National Health Commission document that was an internal document, was labelled not to be spread on the internet, not to be publicly disclosed, in which they said that there was evidence of human-to-human transmission, clustered cases, a severe and complex problem. Why is it that the very next day, I come back to it, that one of your most senior officials...
I think all your information are coming from Washington Post. I think you depend on too much on American media. I really hope you will depend on WHO for information. We share all in this information with the WHO. I saw your interview with Mr. Namara, and I think, you know, China has been straightforward, transparent, and quick, sweet in terms of sharing information with the WHO. Of course, you know, inside China, we have to take precautions, measures, we have to take strict conventional measures to fight against this virus. It's still unknown then, so people do not know what will happen, what this virus is about.
The thing is,
Ambassador, you know, our knowledge, our understanding with the WHO, with the other countries.
But Ambassador, your problem is, and you're a very senior diplomat, you know this is a problem, that many people around the world simply don't believe the Chinese version of events. Donald Trump, only a few hours ago, said that he is not happy at all with China's stance. They could have stopped the virus at the source, he said. We are undertaking a thorough investigation. And the Vice President, Mike Pence, has listed a whole host of reasons why the United States believes that China was not straight with the world and is therefore culpable for the fact this pandemic is now causing so much death and so much economic damage right around the world. You have, as China, a massive problem now.
I don't think so. I think when you say China has a massive problem, I think you are more talking about Western world. You know, since the outbreak, China has a very strong cooperation with WHO and with many other countries. You know, we sent technical assistance and experts to and provide medical supplies to more than 150 countries. All of them spoke highly of China's efforts. So I can't say United States represent the world, and even in the Western world, we've been receiving praise from the countries like United Kingdom, from France, from Germany. You quote President Trump. Let me also quote him, you know, about his comment about China. On 24th of January, that was 1 month after we reported, we found this virus. He said, United States greatly appreciate China's efforts and the transparency. So 6 days later, and he said, they are working very hard, and they are working very, we are working very closely with China.
A lot has
happened.
And on
early February, he said, President Xi is doing a great job. He handled it well.
Things have changed a great deal since the end of January. And China, it has to be said, you say, look at what we've done to deliver medical assistance and equipment around the world. What many people see is China running a campaign of disinformation and propaganda around the world in recent weeks. You say we have a great relationship with France. The French just called in your counterpart, the Chinese ambassador in France, accusing him of spreading disinformation because the embassy website in Paris is claiming that old people in care homes in France are being abandoned to suffer and die alone. That's a colleague of yours. Another colleague of yours in the foreign ministry used social media to promote the conspiracy theory that the US military had smuggled coronavirus into China. Why is your country running this disinformation campaign?
I think you pick a wrong target. It's not China who started this campaign of disinformation. If you compare China's the statement, comments by Chinese leaders, Chinese diplomats, Chinese ambassadors with American counterpart, you will know who is spreading disinformation. You know,
Do you agree with Zhao Lijian, the foreign ministry spokesman, who did put up the link suggesting that the US military had smuggled coronavirus into China? Is that something that you also believe...
I think what you're saying is Mr. Zhao retreat some comment by some media report. You know that I do not know why you focus on some comments by individuals in China, but you miss the disinformation by senior officials, by even the national leaders of the United States. You know, start this campaign of disinformation, especially by the top diplomat, you know, Secretary of State. I think when it's come to China, there's no any good words about China. And China is really regarded as an evil, you know, not as a country which lending a helping hand for Americans in fight against this virus. I do not quite understand.
In your view, Ambassador, how deep is the crisis with the United States right now that has been sparked by all of the accusations that have arisen from coronavirus? How deep is the diplomatic crisis?
We certainly want to have a good relation with the United States. You know, I've been posted twice in Washington, D.C. I always believe that China-United States will gain from cooperation and lose from confrontation. And we have every reason to have a good relation with the United States, but it has to be based on mutual trust, coordination, non-confrontation. But you needed two to tango. And since the outbreak, I think President Xi and President Trump keep a very close contact. They have two telephone conversations, compare notes, and just like President Xi had two telephone conversations with Prime Minister Johnson, you know, we want to build an international response to this virus. I just want to let Americans know that China is not an enemy of the United States.
Well, in that case,
virus is the enemy of the United States. They need to find the right target.
It's a very important message you're sending. Maybe China could consider some gestures that would improve relations with not just the United States, but many other countries, including Australia and the UK, who've made the same point to your government. One, will you now categorically guarantee to close down the so-called wet markets, that there will no longer be the sale of these wild animals in the food markets that are known as the wet markets? Is that now something that has been banned, not just short-term, but absolutely banned forever in China?
First, come to your first point about many countries. I cannot agree with you that China has a problem with many countries. And I think I would say we have more friends than opponents, even than enemies. As I said, Western countries, a few, I would say, Western countries, do not represent the world. I think China enjoys good relationship, and I think we are building an international response. We are building, you know, President Xi said, solidarity.
Ambassador, we're short of time. I just want specific, if I may, Ambassador, I just need specific answers.
On the wet markets,
are they now closed for good? Yes or no?
There's no such a thing about wet market. This is a Western foreign notion to many Chinese. We do have a fresh market where the fresh vegetables, fresh seafood, fish are sold. And some live poetry, that's very rarely. I think you're talking about the market, the so-called illegal market for selling wildlife. That has been totally banned. And the law has been passed, and it will be banned permanently. You know,
that is therefore a recognition, yes? I just want to be clear, a recognition on your government's part that the dangers of those markets where live wild animals were sold alongside other foodstuffs, they were dangers that did cause the spread of coronavirus from animals to humans.
I agree with that. Finally, we have a few points to agree with. I'm very pleased with that. That's why this market, we are talking about wildlife market. It totally banned. You know, it's illegal to hunt, to treat, to eat even. So, you know,
people watching this will only wish that you'd made that ban real before the coronavirus spread and caused such terrible damage around the world. Are you in any way now prepared to say sorry for what has happened?
No, you come to the first point again. You can't blame China for coronavirus. Oh, that's the problem, you know, with this argument. It was found in China. It was found many places. The places have no any connection with China at all. So you can't pointing your fingers at China for the outbreak. And we have done our best capability. China is a victim of the coronavirus.
You know, Ambassador.
China is not a source of this problem. China is not the producer of this epidemic. And that is something we have to come clean about.
China, you know, Ambassador, is seen, for example, by leading politicians in this country, like the chairman of the Parliamentary Foreign Affairs Select Committee, as very much the cause. He's talked about a Soviet-style system, a toxic system inside your government, inside your regime, which he says has been responsible not just for betraying the Chinese people and their health and well-being, but betraying the wider world as well. And there are now calls for the United Kingdom and also calls in the United States and other countries for a disengagement from close economic ties with China. In Britain, it's of course centered on Huawei and your telecoms giants' activities in the 5G sector. People saying that should no longer be tolerated in the United Kingdom. As the ambassador in the UK, are you worried that there is going to be now an economic disengagement?
Yes or no? I think you talk about this person as a very senior politician. But I don't think this view represents official position of the UK government. I think the UK government under Prime Minister Johnson still committed to stronger partnership with China. In his two telephone conversations with the President Xi, he reaffirmed UK's commitment to build a golden era with China. And we do have a very good cooperation with the UK side, even throughout this outbreak, in addition to communication, intensive communication. You know, I've been here for 10 years as a Chinese ambassador. I've never seen that our top leaders have such intensive communications between them. And also on the minister level, we have a foreign minister, Wang Yi, state councillor, with Secretary Rob, and Yang Jiechi, the director of Central Affairs Office, have a close contact with the Mark Sedwell. And I here in London have a very close contact with the secretaries, including Secretary Hancock and Sharma, Foreign Secretary Rob. You know, we have a very strong, robust relationship. You quote those people, use a Soviet example. I think this is a totally Cold War mentality. We are living in the third decade of the 21st century. But those people still live in the old days when they are fighting Cold War. China is not a former Soviet Union. I think China-UK has, many... We are united by common interests than divided by our differences. So I'm very confident about this relationship.
All right. Well, Ambassador, we have to end there, but I do thank you very much indeed. That was an edition of Hard Talk presented by me, Stephen Sacker. For details of our complete range of podcasts and our terms of use, go to bbcworldservice.com/podcasts.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have arrived in the promised land.
The story of the founding of Israel.
The kibbutz grows and grows behind its watchtowers. How can our village survive?
A podcast drama from the BBC World Service.
If we get what we want, there will be war. If we don't, there will be war.
Miriam.
We have so much in common. We belong here like anyone else.
And Yusuf.
All I can see from here are your fences. All I can hear is your pipes pumping our wells dry.
Two stories.
No! Let it burn like tinder.
One shared history.
We have become killers. Killers.
How has that happened?
Miriam and Yusuf. Search for Miriam and Yusuf. That's MIRIAM and YOUSSEF, wherever you get your podcasts.